Right, so we are in our third session or lesson in the series about blessings and living in the blessings and understanding about how God blesses us and those types of things. And we looked at how when God blesses us, He always speaks His blessings over us. We looked at that last time. But we have to come into agreement with that. You know, we've discovered many times through different things that we've looked at during this group is that we have to come into agreement with God. Amen. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Amos 3:3. And so anyway, we're going to go and continue this evening. Amen. We're going to look at the power of the blessing during this section tonight. So let's go and turn over to Genesis chapter 27. You know, we have to start in our Western mindset, especially those who have a Western mindset, which all of us here do. We really don't value as much as other cultures the spoken blessing. Many cultures they won't attempt to do anything without their father's blessing. You know, we as well, I'm an independent person. I can do what I believe that I'm supposed to do and that type of thing. And certainly that shows that we in our culture and the way that we have been brought up, we don't really understand how powerful the blessing is in our lives. We don't understand the power of the spoken blessing. That's really a lot of times what ordination is, an ordination service. If the leadership of an organization, a church or organization, if they're ordaining people into ministry in the church, really what they're doing is, if it's done properly, let me just put it this way, it's not just a formality, but if it's done properly, you will see it's really a blessing service, where they're blessing people, where they're speaking blessings over people and life over people, and especially in the full gospel charismatic circles, if you want to call it that. A lot of times they will be giving words, what they believe God is speaking over them and what God has called them to do. And that is all accurate. Amen. If you look at Timothy, let's look at this one portion real quickly here. But let's turn over to, I believe it is, let me find it real quick. I wasn't planning on going here, but it really ties in with the ordination thing and what I was saying about ordination. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. Of course, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you." What is that talking about? The spoken, prophetic, really, blessings spoken over Timothy while Paul was ordaining him or while he was praying for him. You know, Paul called Timothy a son in the faith. It's very powerful for fathers to literally bless their children. It's very powerful. And we're not just talking about just saying whatever you would like to be in their life, but really it's about saying what you believe, and we're going to see this in just a minute, what you believe God is speaking over that individual's life. And so Paul says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." I want you to notice that. Do you know that when someone is speaking a blessing over us, or whether it's what God says, how many of you have ever been in the Word and you just sense that God is speaking to you through the Word, and it's like it's speaking to you exactly about the situation you're going through, and by that Word, you wage a good warfare. In other words, devil, you're not going to win. This is what God has spoken. This is what He has promised. This is what He says. And by just believing what God says about you, spoken over you, you're able to wage the good warfare and win over the lies and deceptions and plans of the devil. That's powerful. That's really what Paul's talking about here. Amen. Now let's go over here. I want you to see 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let's look at verse 6. It says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Now, I want you to notice that, what Paul's saying right there. Now, obviously, I believe that was when Paul was saying the same time about the prophecies he spoke over him. Okay? I want you to notice that we have to stir ourselves up on what God says about us. The blessings of God are not automatic. We have to believe them and hold on to them. Okay? Again, like I said last week, I'm not talking to people who don't want God. I'm talking to people who do want God. Okay, I don't want to have to qualify all the different aspects and things such as that we could go into. But I believe someone who loves God, if your eyes are on Jesus, you're pursuing Him. You're not pursuing what God does, but you're pursuing Him. You can't help but the blessings of God to overtake you. You know, the book of Psalms, David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." How many know that's God's blessings? Goodness and mercy. Amen. And so God wants us to believe in His goodness. Amen. So let's turn over to Genesis chapter 27. We're going to see in this culture, this is actually the culture that God has for us. Okay? We are in a Western culture. We think in certain terms, but we really, to really truly understand the power of many things that are contained in the Word, we have to actually understand the culture in which it's revealed in the Word, and then be able to apply those things to our life. Because how many of you know when Jesus came on this earth, He didn't come to the West, Western nations. He didn't go to Greece at the time. You know, that was a more of a Western culture. He could have gone there. I mean, obviously He was prophesied that He'd come to Israel, so He had to go there. But Israel, it was more of an Eastern mindset, not a Western mindset. And so sometimes when we read the Word, we read it from a Western mindset, and sometimes we can miss some things. And so I want us to see the picture here of what is painted here in Genesis chapter 27. And so we're not going to read the whole thing. We could read the whole chapter. It would be a good idea if you wanted to read this whole chapter later on. But I want you to notice, I was going to say this a little bit later, but it's okay to say it now. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter, chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. I want you to see the beginning of this thing. Genesis chapter 25. Let's start in verse 21. And it says, "Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If all is well, why am I like this?' So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb, two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the other shall serve the younger.'" I want you to notice what God said. God Himself, not any man, but God Himself said that the older shall serve the younger. Now that may not make a whole lot of sense to us, but that was a radical statement, because the older always had the blessing. Okay? So look at verse 24. "So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau." And now that is just amazing, huh? He must have looked like Elmo. The Bible says he was a hairy garment, like a hairy garment from birth. And that's just amazing, huh? And verse 26 says, "Afterward his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel." Notice that. "So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them." Now, Jacob means, I'm just going to use what is written in the center column reference of my Bible here. But Jacob means supplanter or deceitful. Literally, it's the one who takes the heel. In other words, it was recognized because Jacob did that. They did not take that as something. Now think about this. They did not take that as something that was just coincidence. They said, "Whoa, look at this one. This is a deceiver. It's trying to have the place of supremacy, if you want to call it that. And it isn't his. He wasn't first." So Jacob was named Jacob from that moment, and Jacob means deceiver. Now how would you like to have the name deceiver all your life? Deceiver, come. You know, it is important what you name your children. Every one of our children, we name them what we believe that God had for us. Even Rachel. Even though we didn't plan long for Rachel's name, God did give us that name. Of course, God gave us Abigail, and God gave us Jeremiah, the name Jeremiah. And it's very important the name we give to people. But in our culture, think about it. We really don't put much emphasis on the meaning of names, do we? I knew a guy, his name was Dion. We don't think anything of it, do we? You know what Dion means? Drunkenness. The Greek god Dionysus, who's the god of mirth, wine, partying. Now think about that. I'm telling you, we don't put any emphasis on what a name means, but God does. So when they named someone something, they were doing it intentionally, and they were actually speaking something over your life, either a blessing or a cursing. And you look, a lot of times, the meanings of those people's names did play out in their life. Now, as Christians, as believers, like you're going to have a child, there's no pressure on this. But yes, we need to sense what God is wanting to name that child. Because even though you aren't thinking about it, every time I call Abigail's name, I'm not thinking about the name, but it means cause of father's delight. And it's not this father, if you understand what I'm saying. Jeremiah means appointed of the Lord. Rachel means lamb. Amen. And Hannah, what does Hannah mean? Grace. But I want you to see that. Amen. Let's turn over to Genesis 27 now. Because we need to start seeing the importance of what we say more and more and more. I'm not talking about magic, amen, but we need to see the importance that every time we speak, we're either speaking a blessing or a cursing. Now, we may think it's neutral, but I've discovered everything that's neutral isn't empowering, so therefore, it didn't produce anything of worth. Therefore, it's really the direction we don't want to go, amen? So we're in Genesis chapter 27, and I want us to see here the attitude that Jacob and Esau and Isaac and Rebecca had concerning the spoken blessing of the person in authority, which was the father. Okay? Genesis chapter 27. Let's look at verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass, when Isaac was old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau his older son, and said to him, 'My son.' And he answered him, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die.' Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son, saying, 'Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau your brother, saying, Bring me game that I may bless you.'" Obviously, I paraphrased verse 7. Now, we'll look at verse 8. Obviously, Esau was Isaac's favorite son, but Jacob was Rebekah's favorite son. Okay? Now, I want you to notice, God had spoken to Rebekah that the blessing actually belonged to the younger. And I'm going to make a statement here that I might clarify a little bit later on today. But we don't have to do anything deceitful to gain God's blessing. Okay? Notice what Rebecca says, verse 8. "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death." So Jacob said to Rebecca's mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man." Obviously, he said, "This isn't going to work, Mom." I don't know what Isaac used to do. Maybe he used to stroke his fur. I don't know what he did. But something Jacob knew. He's going to know I'm not Esau. I'm smooth. He's hairy. And look at this. Verse 12. "Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him. And I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." Notice he was concerned that this could backfire and father could speak a curse over me and not a blessing. We would think not much of it. But you know what? Even unbelievers, and those of us who are in the West, we say what people say doesn't affect us. We know there are some people still struggling in life because of the curses their parents, especially their father, spoke over them. "I'm so disappointed in you. You don't have what it takes to make it in life." All the different things that fathers can say over their sons, thinking they're motivating them, but it's affected them. Look at verse 13. "But his mother said to him, 'Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me.'" Now, I don't have time to go through the whole thing. We're not going to read the whole portion of scripture here because I want to get to the next portion of what we want to talk about this evening. But to paraphrase this, Jacob goes out, he kills the goats. They take the skins of the goats. She puts the skins on his hands, his forearms and hands, I guess, and the back of his neck. So obviously, I guess Isaac always grabbed him by his arms and the back of his neck as a term of endearment. And probably whatever, I don't know, but they knew. Remember, Esau was Isaac's favorite. And so if we go down to verse 20. He brings it in. And Isaac said to his son, and Jacob pretended to be Esau. Let's go to verse 19. Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. Notice he's not only is he deceiving his father, he's lying that God helped him. I don't know if you see this. There's no way to justify this. That's what I'm trying to say. God spoke the blessing over Jacob. And you know what? It was going to happen regardless. I don't know what the story would have been like if Jacob had known that and believed God in that way. If you really study this out, at this point, Jacob did not have his own relationship with God at all. Isaac did. Remember we talked about the last time God spoke the blessing to Abraham. Then he spoke it again unto Isaac. And then we said, and he spoke it to Jacob. But this happened before we went ahead into chapter 28. This is 27, before God spoke the blessing over Jacob. And so when you really look at Jacob, Jacob got to the place where he started to trust God. But at this point, he was saying, man, I've got to make this happen. You know, there are a lot of Christians that believe they got to make God's blessing happen in their life. And sometimes they make a mess of things. Let's look at verse 21. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So he kind of had the suspicions. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. That must have been Esau must have been some hairy, to where he put the skins of the goats on his neck and his hands. And he said, wow, this is Jacob. This is Esau. Verse 23, and he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And then he said, are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. He said, bring it near to me that I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing. Also, Rebekah told Esau, Jacob, to wear your brother's garments that hadn't been washed yet. And so he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, notice, he blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. Now, I don't know if you noticed that, but that is exactly what God spoke over Abraham. Now, I want you to notice that Isaac spoke this over Jacob. Okay? Let's go to verse 30, because this is very important. It says, now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? So he said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly. Why didn't Isaac just say, don't worry, I cancel the blessing I spoke over Jacob, and I'm giving it to Esau. That wasn't how he did it. You know why? Isaac wanted to bless Esau. That's who he wanted the blessing to go towards. This is why Isaac could not cancel that. Keep your finger there, but let's go to Hebrews 11. This is something that's very powerful, and it can help us whenever we're praying for someone or speaking blessings over our loved ones or children. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20 says, by faith, notice that, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. What does that mean? Faith always comes from hearing the word of God. Did you hear what I've said? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God there in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, is rhema, the spoken word. So Isaac, when Isaac was blessing Jacob, Isaac recognized that he was prophesying what he was getting from God to say. And he recognized that even though he was the one who wanted to bless Esau with such a blessing, God knew that that was Jacob and not Esau, and God was the one who spoke that blessing through the mouth of his prophet, Isaac at that point, over the life of Jacob. So Isaac recognized he couldn't just cancel it, because he recognized that the source of blessing wasn't his own words, but the source of blessing was speaking what God was saying. So he couldn't just cancel it. In other words, Isaac recognized he was deceived, but God wasn't. So notice this, verse 33. Then Isaac, we're back in Genesis 27, verse 33. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." Wow. I don't know. Do we really take this as serious as what the Bible's showing here? I say no. I think we should, though. Look at verse 34. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." Notice, Jacob did take away the blessing, but really he didn't. It was always his. But he did come with deceit. Amen? Now we're going to see this in a little bit later, that even though God can speak a blessing over you, anytime we do get in the flesh, there's still consequences. That's important for us to understand. Amen? Now I don't want to go there just now. But we don't need to have the attitude that, okay, God has blessed me, so therefore. No, we need to always walk in agreement and in union with God. Amen? Not take it for granted. You know, like sometimes a rich kid can take it for granted. Despise his position. And who cares if I wreck the Ferrari? I'll get another one. Type of mentality. That's not the type of mentality we need. We need to believe if we wreck the Ferrari, yes, we can get another one, if you understand what I'm saying. But not the attitude of, who cares? Amen. So let's go to the blessing. Let's go to verse 36. And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob?" Notice, what does Jacob mean? Deceiver, supplanter. "Is he not rightly named that? For he has supplanted me these two times." What was the first time? The first time, we didn't go into this, was when he made some lentil stew. Esau was so hungry he thought he was going to die and said, "What is the birthright to me?" He said, "Okay, I'll give you some of this stew if you sell me your birthright." And Esau totally disregarded the birthright, said, "What is it to me? Have the birthright." At that point, Esau really wasn't respecting his position. The truth was, because it really wasn't his. And so he sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew. Jacob did not deceive Esau at that point. Esau willingly gave it away. You can go to Hebrews chapter 12 and see that Esau did not respect the birthright and gave it away for a bowl of lentils. Anyway, so let's see. Let's keep reading here. It says, "He took away my birthright, and now, look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. I don't know. This is a serious matter. Verse 39. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. But by your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck." Verse 41. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. Notice that. You know that we can actually despise a blessing that someone else has received from God if we think theirs is greater than ours? Now, in this case, it was. But you know what? God is good. He's not given any of us second best. We don't need to focus on someone else's blessing, you know, because when we focus on someone else's blessing, we'll never appreciate what God wants to do in our life. We'll always feel like we're losing out. You know, the Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that it's not wise for us to compare ourselves to others. We don't need to do that. Everyone else's calling is not ours. What someone else lives in doesn't matter. What someone else drives, or whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. We need to believe what God is speaking over us and walk in agreement with God, see how God wants us to make steps or movements, but always be in agreement with what God is saying and walk in what God has for us. Amen? What God has for us, God knows best. Amen? So I wanted you to see from this portion of Scripture, the attitude toward the blessing truly reveals how powerful the spoken blessing is. Okay? I want to go to another Scripture. Let's go to Numbers chapter 6. I want to see a passage of Scripture that the Jews really, really love, and they quote a lot. Because a lot of them really do understand this. They understand the power of the blessing. They understand the power of the spoken blessing of the father and the mother as well over the children. Amen. But let's go to Numbers chapter 6. And let's go to verse 22. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel." Notice what he says. "This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Notice that. But look at verse 27. This is very powerful. Look at this. "So they," this is God speaking now, "so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Notice God says, by them speaking blessings, what I am saying, they are putting my name over them. What is his name? Protection, healing, blessing, peace, all those things. God takes it seriously about speaking over. That is why it's very good for us to always remember that we need to come into agreement with God with our mouths, not just with our minds. I'm guilty of just doing it with my mind a lot. Honestly, I'm just going to be honest. This has been really reminding me that it's good to agree with God in your mind, but Jesus himself said, "Take no thought for yourself saying." So in other words, he was talking about the bad stuff. But he wants us to take the thought of the good stuff he's saying by saying. You know sometimes what stops us from saying it out of our mouth? I don't know. It's one level of believing to agree with it in your mind. It's another level of believing to out by faith speaking it out of your mouth. Why? Because when we say it out of our mouth, then we're saying, you know what? I'm believing this is going to happen. And someone can say, "Hey, Mark, I heard you say so and so. How come it hasn't happened yet?" You see, that's the tendency. Yes, right. As Howard said, we are committing to what God is saying by saying it ourselves. You know what, Lisa? This is what I believe God is saying. And let me tell you, as a couple, when both of you are coming to an agreement and you're both saying, "Yes, that is what God's saying," and you're both saying it, I'm telling you, there's power there. It really is. Oh, but in the West, oh, it's just words. No, it's not. We can choose to stay in our Western way of thinking, or we can say, you know what? God is right. Let God be true and every man a liar, including myself. God shows that it's important. It's important. Amen? So words that are spoken do affect you. Amen. So blessings are God's divine favor that has been spoken over us. Last week we looked at Mary, didn't we? He said, "Blessed are you. You are highly favored of the Lord." And spoke all these things, impossible things, didn't the angel speak? But Mary said, "Yes, let it be done according to your word." Amen? So blessings are always spoken. Blessings are God's divine favor that has been spoken over us. Amen. If you go to the word, we're not going to turn there, and I'll give you these references. You can look it up later. But Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 through 30, God said that I'm going to create man in my own image and after my own likeness. And God blessed them. He spoke over them. He blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth." He gave us the earth. He spoke it over us. Amen. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, God blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it. He blessed it with his mouth. Genesis 5 and verse 2 and Genesis 9 and verse 1, that's Noah in Genesis 9, but God blessed mankind and said, "Mankind in general is blessed." We have power to bless people. We do. So we need to focus on that. We need to realize that. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk about now that we cannot manipulate God's blessing. What I mean by that is, kind of hinted at it, like with Jacob, that we don't have to help God out except by believing what he says. Amen. We don't have to. Well, God said I'm blessed. He said I'm going to become president of this corporation. So we start sowing seeds of doubt and discord among our competition, so to speak. You don't do that. If we do that, we actually don't believe that God can pull it off. Now think about that. But if you read Genesis chapter 27 through Genesis chapter 29, we're not going to do that, but I'm going to summarize it. We know we just read Genesis chapter 27, most of it, a lot of it, about Esau and Jacob and Isaac blessing Jacob. And we saw how Isaac was actually prophesying according to the will of God by faith. And faith is always what God is saying. Faith is not what we want. We talked about this before. Faith is not what we want and what we're believing for. No. Faith is what God wants and we agree with it. We believe what God says. That's why faith comes by hearing and hearing by what God is saying. That's why you can read this word, but until it comes alive, it doesn't give us faith. Have you noticed that? But when it comes alive, it gives us faith. So in other words, God spoke that to you. So in Genesis chapter 27, let's go to Genesis. We already discussed that. Let's go to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28, Esau gets angry. We saw in Genesis 27 how Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing. He sought to kill him. Esau said, as soon as Isaac dies, I'm going to kill Jacob. You know, even though Jacob did it wrongly, there will be people who will not like the fact that God has spoken his blessing over you. There will be people who don't like that you're blessed. There will be people who will want you to explain God's blessing. You don't owe any man any explanation. Think about that. You know, God has no problem blessing his people. But you know what? Sometimes people misunderstand that blessing. And they will accuse you of doing all sorts of things wrong to get it. And that's not necessarily true. Lisa's father, he's had so many people, I mean, before when he first came to Christ, he came from a poor background. They lived in a house built out of the boxes that they used to ship the cars in from Japan over to the Trinidad. You know, they'd ship in boxes, wooden boxes, and he had a house he built out of boxes from those, the car boxes. And people used to laugh at him as they passed by. Look at the preacher, ha, 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 and laugh at him, right? You know what? Lisa's dad, I'll tell you one thing about Lisa's dad. Lisa's dad believes the blessing. He believes that when he got born again, he is a new creation. That old man's gone. I have royal blood flowing through my veins. He literally believes that. He's not just saying it. And God started blessing him. The blessing started to overtake him. Those same people who used to laugh at him now are accusing him. You must be selling dope, selling drugs. There's no way God can do this. See, it's actually a compliment. When people can't believe God could not do this, you had to have done something deceitful. He hasn't done anything. It is the blessing of God on his life. It really is. Amen. I could go into other testimonies. He believed. And he didn't just believe. He set his hand to what God showed him to set his hand to. In other words, he put on Lisa's dad's heart strongly to evangelize the nation of Trinidad. And so he believed God. He ended up with 7 tents. Used to go around preaching 6 days a week, a lot of times 5-6 days a week, every week, all throughout the Trinidad, having gospel crusades. Sometimes people would give him an offering of a box of mangoes, but he wouldn't get mad. Praise God. He'd just keep trusting God and blessing, you know, and it was hard, hard, hard and tough, tough, tough. I heard the stories, but you know what? Blessings overtaken, you know, so when the blessing overtakes you, how many of you know that? I can't remember the verse, but there's a verse in there talking about, and the blessing shall overtake you. Maybe it's Deuteronomy 28. I can't remember now. Sorry about that. But before the blessing overtakes you, it hasn't yet overtaken you. How many know what I'm talking about? That's the period where you can get discouraged, where other people look like they're more blessed than you. But if you just hang in there and keep at what God's told you to set your hand to, you can't manipulate the blessing. You can't make it happen before it's time. And God doesn't need your help to make it come to pass quicker. How many of you know Abraham tried it? We're still dealing with it today. I was thinking about Joseph. What an amazing man he did. How many can you agree? Joseph did not try to help God accomplish what he showed him. You might say, well, of course he didn't. He's in jail. Yeah, but still, he was a slave. He was in jail. Yes, but still, he never tried. God was blessing Joseph so much that Potiphar recognized whatever he set his hand to was blessed and made him in charge of everything. How many know Joseph could have tried to use that influence, that relationship to try to promote himself? He didn't. The Bible says that promotion comes from the Lord. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. Promotion comes from the Lord. Amen. Now, all we have to do is be in agreement with God and do what he's showing us to do. Joseph didn't just sit down and feel sorry for himself either, did he? Think about that. You have a dream that all these things are going to happen. His brothers get upset. Even Jacob gets upset. Instead of being depressed and discouraged, which would have been very easy to do, he's the best, most hardworking, most diligent slave Potiphar had. That just, I tell you, that goes against human nature. Then he gets thrown in jail for something he didn't do. Instead of becoming so depressed and so discouraged, he becomes the best prisoner in the jail, and they put him in charge of all their prisoners. To the point where he was running the whole jail, where he saw the baker and the cupbearer of Pharaoh, where he asked them, why you got so sad? Well, we're in jail. Think about that, huh? He must have had such an influence in that jailhouse that it was rare to see someone with a long face. Why you got so sad? Amazing. And look what happened. Joseph could not have done that. Only God could have done that. He didn't try to deceive anybody and take the position or anything like that. Amen. I just think that, man, I'm not saying we don't do anything, but I'm saying we don't try to force the issue. We don't try to make something happen. You know, I believe we can always tell when we're making something happen. You always have to have some compromise somewhere, but we justify it because, hey, God spoke the blessing over me. You know, I've seen people, let me just put it this way. We've known people who have gotten in trouble because they believed in the blessing in the area of finances. And so because they believe in the blessing, they throw other truths in the Word of God to the side that could have kept them from making mistakes, and they make mistakes in the area of finances and lose a lot of money and don't prosper because they're following get-rich-quick schemes, which God's not into. I don't know if that makes sense to you. There's no such thing, especially in God's kingdom, where you get wealthy for nothing. It's not God's system. So God did not tell you to go to the casino, and he's going to bless it. But he said he blessed whatever I put my hand to. I believe that, and I lost everything. That's an extreme example. We can laugh at that, but what about other things? I've seen, you know what? You know what's dangerous? Christians, this can be dangerous. Christians who believe in the blessing and Christians who believe in prosperity throw all caution to the wind when someone comes with a business proposal that seems too good to be true. Hallelujah, this is it. God's brought... Now think about that. I've seen many people lose money like that. It wasn't God. And so if they had been sensitive, they wouldn't have done that thing because it really was too good to be true. You can't invest 100 rand and get 1 million rand in a month. Impossible. 1,000 rand, 10,000 rand, 1 million. No, impossible. There's some kind of corruption going on, or they're just stealing your money and you never see them again. But because they believe in the blessing and they believe God's a supernatural God, how many understand what I'm trying to say here? They throw caution to the wind because this must be, because I just prayed yesterday, thank you, Lord, for opportunities, and it came today. You know, the devil also heard you say that. So God's not going to break his principles to bless you. He's not going to go against his word to bless you. In other words, you don't have to kill the man in charge in order to get his position. That's extreme. You understand what I'm saying? I'm using an extreme example, but how many lesser ones we go ahead and make compromise? You know, when we don't have to compromise. Amen. Genesis chapter 28, Jacob's on the run. He's laying down, makes a vow to God, and God speaks the blessing over him. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 29, he goes and he attaches himself to Laban because he wants to marry Rachel. And so Laban has him serve him how long? Does anybody remember the story? 7 years. For who? Rachel. And so it must be in that culture that you don't see the woman's face until the morning. I don't know. Because when he woke up in the morning after the wedding ceremony, he obviously didn't see who it was. And it's dark in his tent. He goes into the tent on the wedding night. We don't need to say any more. But in the morning he discovers, it's not Rachel, it's Leah. So guess who took advantage of Jacob? Laban did. Why is that? Because Jacob sowed deception. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. And he does. He ends up serving Laban even more. Another 7 years. He does get Rachel. So he served him a total of 14 years. Now, did God bless him in the end? Yes. God's blessing's always in effect. When God blesses you, it's in effect. But that doesn't mean you can't have consequences for compromises. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That is just the way God's kingdom operates. You can't say, well, God has blessed me. I am his child. I have favor on my life. So it doesn't matter if I make compromises. It does. But there are some Christians who don't really get that concept. Some Christians believe, well, you can't be honest in this culture and make it. I'm talking about in different countries where you got to pay off officials. I don't know how to, you know, I'm not a business individual, you know, in Russia, so many Russian businessmen out here. You can't do it honest in this country. Now, I'm not arguing those points, but what I'm saying is I believe that you, corruption is nothing new, and if God could bless Joseph in that system, may not have happened the time frame he wanted. Some things may have happened the way he didn't want. But guess what? Him being actually the man in charge in Egypt was better than what he could have ever imagined. I guarantee it. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. In other words, what I'm trying to say here, just to use a colloquial phrase or a phrase that we have in our culture, the end does not justify the means. That is not true in the Christian life. It does. The means matter a lot. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So that shows us we can trust in the Lord, but not with all our heart, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I don't know about you, but was that not Rebekah's and Jacob's own understanding? In all your ways acknowledge him. Was that acknowledging God the way they did it? And he shall direct your paths. Was God the one who directed that path? No. Guess what? It cost him 14 years serving Laban and being taken advantage of for those 14 years. Think about that. Now, good came out of it. I'm not saying that. The blessing was still intact. But you know what? The story might be different if Jacob hadn't done that. We don't know. But one thing I do like about God is that even when we do blow it, it's not over. Even if it does take us 14 years, that wasn't necessarily originally God's plan can still come to pass if we keep believing. Jacob did get to the point where he was fully trusting God. You can see it. Amen. Now I'm going to look at that the blessing of God doesn't come upon you, or the blessing of God doesn't come because you deserve it. It's not based on performance. Amen. And we are running out of time, because if I hit this one, we're going to be probably another 30 minutes. So let's just go ahead and just continue this next week. Amen.